This morning I want to preach just a little while on
the delight of the blessed man. Delight of the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we come to you now this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our time together, for our hymns and the special music. Thank you, dear Lord, for our blessings. Lord, sometimes we allow the burdens of life to capture our attention, consume our minds, and we forget about the many blessings, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us. Dear Lord, as we look now today at the blessed man, may we, Father, take some home, some help, Father, with us. May you be glorified. Help me, Lord, today, and help each one as they take the Word of God in. May your will be done, we pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just give you a few thoughts this morning, introduction. Then we have, I want to compare the righteous man with the ungodly man. In our text today, we have two ways contrasted. We have, verse number 6, we have the way of the righteous, and we have also the way of the ungodly, contrasted in these few short verses. The way of the righteous is blessed, verse number 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So he wants us to take notice of these two ways and make application of them. In the way of the righteous man, he is blessed. And the Lord knows the way that he goes. The Lord knows and is knowing where he's at and the direction he takes. The way of the ungodly, the Bible says, the way of the ungodly is doomed. The way of the ungodly man is going to perish. No matter how hard he tries, no matter what he attempts to do, if he is without God and he is ungodly, his way will always perish. And so I want to remind you of that. I want you to remember that. That when you forsake God and go your own way and it's ungodly, no matter what you do, no matter who will vouch for you, no matter what the world says, that way always will perish. We find in the Scripture the way of the ungodly is also an unstable way. We'll look at that in a few moments. And so these two ways are contrasted. And the two different ways are determined by what is done with the Word of God. What makes these two men different? What makes one, their way, is blessed and is prosperous? What makes the one man who has chosen to be ungodly and his way, no matter what he does, will perish? What makes the difference in their ways? They both could have maybe the same background, maybe the same financial abilities, maybe the same intellect, but what makes their ways different? What makes it that the righteous man, his way will prosper, and the ungodly man, no matter what the world says, his way one day will perish? It is determined by what is done with the Word of God. With the Word of God. The righteous are blessed because their delight, according to the Scripture, is in the Word of God, the Bible. The ungodly man will perish because of the rejection of the Word of God. And so again, these two ways, these two men are brought to us and are compared. And the difference is, that makes a difference in their life is, what they have done with the Word of God. Now we find in the Word of God, we find God gives promises throughout His Word. We find that God gives in His Word blessings throughout His entire Word. Some promises that God has are not conditional. For example, God has promised those that believe in Him will be given everlasting life. My eternal security is not conditional based upon what I do. That's a promise that God has given us. God says if we put our faith and trust in Him, He saves us and gives us everlasting life. He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. And so, though I should live in grace and live in the Spirit and do right, sinning does not make me lose my salvation. God is committed to keeping that unto the day of redemption. But there are promises in God's Word that are conditional. For example, you know this one. Second Chronicles 7:14. God says this to Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God's saying, I want to bless you. I want to make your way prosperous. I want to heal your land. I want to give you forgiveness. I want to hear all your prayers. And I promise to do that if you'll do something first. And so God tells us in the New Testament, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Here's a promise that God says. So there are times when God's blessings that he wants to give us are available if we meet the criteria. If we keep some things that God has asked us to keep. The same is true in raising a children. Oftentimes, we don't reward in a good manner. We don't reward bad children when they misbehave. You know, there are times when the boys might come and say, hey, can we go do such and such? No, because you didn't listen and obey today, or you didn't do your homework today, or you didn't do good in homeschooling today. You can't go and have this reward. And so God wants to bless us, but oftentimes his blessings are conditional. You will, as a believer, you will never enjoy God's blessings until you submit to God's Word. God attaches blessings to His Word. And so oftentimes we as believers in today's modern society, society that wants to just be prosperous and think nothing of the Word of God, we want to claim God's blessings without submitting to His Word. We're all for God blessing us. God make our way prosperous. God give me health and give me wealth and God bless my family and give me a nice home to live in and nice cars to drive and all these things that we want to be blessed with and have those prosperity. But oftentimes we don't want to submit to God's will and God's word and we don't want to put Him first. And God says, here's the criteria for me to bless you. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would God have to violate His word to bless me or you? If God's blessings are based upon some promises, if His blessings are based upon some conditions, if my people, then I will. And so, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If God were to bless you or bless me or bless Old Paths Baptist Church, would He have to violate His word to do so? Something to think about. And so God's blessings are oftentimes conditional. Not because God wants to harm us, but God does want to bless us. But He says that if you'll do, then I will bless. Many want God's blessings without putting God in His Word first. You can't expect God to bless without seeking God first. It's amazing the things that we seek after that yet want God's blessings, but you must put God first. And so the difference between these two men is what they did with the Word of God. Watch these two men now. I want you to notice, first of all, the way of the righteous. Look at me again at verse number 1. And we're going to stay, for the most part, we're going to stay in the book of Psalms today. But we'll turn to a few places. I want you to see a few verses this morning. Notice the way of the righteous. Verse number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see the ungodly man, his way progresses to becoming more evil. Verse number 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, day and night. The way of the righteous man, we find, first of all, is this. We find the choice for God's word. The righteous man chooses God's word. Not only does he choose God's word, but he chooses to delight in the word of God. The word delight means a high degree of pleasure, satisfaction of mind, or to have great joy. Now, oftentimes, again, we are living in a different day and age. Where we have to, if we're going to delight in something, we must feel it. There's so much emotions and feelings attached to our walk with God. And though God has made us emotional people, there are times when you and I must choose to delight in the Word of God. To delight in the Word of God is not a feeling, it's a choice. Look at me at Psalms 119. Hold your place there in Psalms 1. And let's come to the right of several pages of Psalms 119. The choice of the righteous man, what made him different? He chose to delight in the Word of God. Psalms 119, look at verse number 16. Here the psalmist writes and he says, to watch it with me, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So the difference between the ungodly man and the righteous man is not where they went to, it's not where they lived, it's not their education, it's not their financial background, it's not their IQ. The difference is what they did with the word of God. And the righteous man said this, I will choose, I will make myself delight in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And so to delight in the word of God is not a feeling. It's not like, well, when I get a feel, when it comes over me, when I'm overwhelmed with this great joy, then I'll get a hold of God's word. It's a choice that you and I must make. Rather than chasing the delight of the world, we choose, God, I'm going to delight in your word. I'm going to choose for myself to have great joy in your word. I'm not going to forget your statutes. I'm not going to forget your word. And so the righteous man, he chooses the word of God. He chooses to delight in God's word. We find that he also makes a commitment to the Word of God. We find that the righteous man, he commits to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was a young boy and I memorized that verse, I thought, that's a lot of work. I mean, I'm a third grader, and I'll be honest, I was a little carnal. It's like, well, there's more things I want to think about than the Word of God, the Bible. You know, when you're a third grader in the Bible, you know, it's a big book and it's hard to understand. I want to think about cars and recess and lunch, you know, and dessert and a bicycle. You know, but here the righteous man, he's chosen the Word of God, but there's also commitment to the Word of God. He says, day and night I'll think about the Word of God. Day and night I'll muse upon it. Day and night I'll hear it and I'll be a doer of it as well. You see, he meditates in the daytime, but also he meditates in the night season. What he's saying here is that in the good times and also in the bad times, I'm going to commit myself to the Word of God. When I see the hand of God, I'm going to apply His Word. But when I don't see God's hand and all of my business and all that I'm doing, I'm still going to commit myself to the Word of God. You see, to delight is a choice and a commitment. Now we live in a day and age where the world would like to pull your attention away from the Word of God. And by the way, oftentimes the world makes it so attractive that this old black book doesn't hardly stand a chance to the attraction of the world. And we compare the two. It would look like the old black book is just a book. It's boring. It's out of date. It's not relevant. And the things of society are so flashy, so attractive. But the way of the Bible is a blessed way. God's word is a blessed way, and the way of the world is the way that will one day perish. So the righteous man, he's chosen the word of God. Now, why does he make this choice? What brings him, my next question is, what brings him this delight? I've been pastoring for many years now, and there's very few times in the years that I've pastored where I've seen folks really excited sometimes. I've seen some, but I mean really excited about the word of God. There's only been a few times that folks have come into the church house and say, Preacher, man, I was reading the God's Word this week and you won't believe what I found. Look at this verse. Only a few times that folks called me in the week and said, man, I was reading the Bible and boy, I got something I wanted to share with you. We attach blessings to maybe financial gain or a gift or overcome some tragedy. But what about just the reading of the Word of God? What brought this man such delight? Well, I believe the certainty of God's word gave the man delight. Look with me at Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68, verse 11. Watch what the word of God says here. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. I want to remind you this morning that what gives us great delight in the word of God? Knowing that God gave His Word. This is not the prophecy of old men of old time. This is not the fancy of some religious people. This that we have in our hands today is the Word of God. The Lord gave His Word, so there's great certainty in it. You know, the older I get and the more people I talk to, you know, I've had the privilege of talking to troopers and those in Iowa State Patrol and politicians and representatives, you know, you really can't believe anything that comes across TV and the news or in the paper. There's so much deception and lies and deceit that comes through the media. It's hard to know what is what. And sometimes you just don't know what the real truth is behind the scenes. But that we can be certain that the Word of God is true.
Amen.
Amen. And the psalmist says, I find great delight in God's Word because I know that God gave it to me. It's certain. The Word of God is right. Psalms 33, verse number 4. Look what the Scripture says there. Psalms 33 and verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. We find that God's Word is right. The Word of God says that, let God be true and every man a liar. Why did this man delight in God's Word? Why did he make that choice? Because he knew that God gave the book. It was certain that the book was right. It was done in truth. That when we follow the Word of God and we listen to it and become hearers of God's Word, but not just hearers only, but doers, that our way will be blessed. And so he's chosen to do right. He's chosen the Word of God to meditate, commit to the Word of God because he knows God gave the book, God gave His Word, and every word is right for me. And it's true. We read in Psalms 119:89 that God's Word is settled in heaven forever. Why was it such a delight? Because the psalmist said this, it's certain, God gave it, it's right, it'll never change. I'm glad today that in a changing world that's constantly changing, that God's Word never changes. Never. And by the way, I say, well, it's an old book, but it's still relevant to today. Man, if God's Word would change in any way, our salvation would be empty, would be vain, it would not be certain. But why am I certain that I'm born again, I'm going to heaven? Because God's book is settled forever in heaven. We find that in Psalms 119:140 that God's Word is pure. God has no ulterior motives. God's not selfish. But God's Word is pure for our benefit. We find in Psalms 119:160 that God's Word is true. And so we find here, what made this man delight in God's Word more than any other book? Because of its certainty. I want you to notice with me next why this man delighted in the Word of God was because the sanctification of God's Word. So we find that he delighted because of what the Word of God was. It was God's Word, but the Word of God is not dead, it's powerful. God's Word is life-changing. The righteous man, not only is he a hearer, but he's a doer. He's a recipient, he's a beneficiary of the Word of God. Look at Psalms 119. By the way, Psalms 119 is packed full of praise for the Word of God. And so you memorize that chapter, and next week we'll quote it, all right? Psalms 119. Look at why this man delighted in the Word of God so much. Look at verse number 9. For if also a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word, the Word of God is cleansing. Boy, I'm so glad that the day that I got born again, I heard the Word of God being taught and preached, and the Word of God got into my heart, and the Spirit of God convicted me, and I received Christ as my Savior, and He cleansed me from all my sin. And even yet today, as I walk through this world, the Word of God is continually washing me and cleansing me from the evil of the world and from the sin I pick up, and the sin I commit. His Word is cleansing. So why do we delight in God's Word? It's cleansing. It sanctifies the believer. It keeps the righteous from sin. Look at verse number 11. We find here, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Remember in 1 Corinthians, God talks about how that he gives us, with temptation is always a way of escape. God never tempts us above all, but we're able. And he said that with every temptation, every trial, there's always a way of escape. And that way, my friend, is the Word of God. Here the psalmist says, I've hidden God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. God's Word keeps us from sin. It keeps the righteous man from sin. Look at verse number 46 as well. Why did he delight in the Word of God? Because it sanctified him. I speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The Word of God is hope to the discouraged. The word of God is comfort to the afflicted. Here, why does this rich, why does this man, this blessed man, why does he delight in God's word? Because it's certain, but also because it sanctifies. He said, the word of God, it cleanses me, it keeps me from sin. Oh, but when I'm afflicted and I'm troubled, I can read God's word, his promises, and it brings me great comfort. Look at verse number 79 and verse of chapter 119. Let those that fear thee turn unto me. Those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. For my soul faineth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We find here that the word of God is a hope to the discouraged. It's easy to go through life and get discouraged, but God is a hope to the discouraged. He reminds of his promises. He reminds of his coming. He reminds us of his intercession for us. Look at verse number 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a lamp in darkness. Here we go through life and if the unsaved, the ungodly man, he walks and he stumbles in darkness, he has no way to light his direction. But this man, this righteous man, he delights in God's word. Why does he chose to delight in God's word? Because of its certainty, but it sanctifies. He said, listen, I don't know which way to go and I have no idea which way to take, but God's word is a lamp in the darkness that guides my feet. It tells me exactly where to go and what to do. It guides my life. We read in verse number 133. It says, order my steps in thy word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Find that the word of God is an escape from temptation. It's also a healing to the broken. Look at verse number 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteous of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. I cry with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning. I cried, I hoped in thy word. My eyes prevented the midnight, the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. So we find that the word of God is healing the broken. Here the psalmist, he writes about being broken of sorrow, of burdens, but through the night he couldn't sleep. So the night he mused about the word of God. He put his mind, he meditated upon the word of God, and it brought him great comfort and great healing. And so he delights because God's word sanctifies him. Look at verse number 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. We find that God's word is a treasure to the seeker. The psalmist here, he said, listen, God's word is so sweet to my taste. And he goes, even though I might suffer and go through this world and have problems and persecutions, when I get in the word of God, I stand in awe. Boy, what a day that is for us as Christians. We can get in God's word and not be bored stiff. What a great day it is in our life spiritually when we can get in God's word and say, you know what? I look at God's word and I read about God and I'm in awe that God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, would love a man like me, would redeem me, would save me. You see, God's word is powerful. It's not a dead word. It's living and it's powerful. It can redeem the lost sinner. It can give the believer great hope and courage. And someone says, I'm not ashamed. I delight in God's word. God's word is a testimony of the redeemed. We read in verse 176, I have gone astray. Well, verse number, 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. The word of God is a believer's testimony. How are we redeemed? How are we changed? How is our life made different? How are we quickened? But by the Word of God. Now, there's not one thing in my life that I could boast about. There's not one thing in my life that I could take pride and say, I did this for me, myself. No, all that is in me, all that's good within me, all that God has done for me is because of His Word. And His Word is my testimony. When we start bragging about us, boy, we lose it. We've lost the mark. We've lost the vision. We've lost what God has done for us. But our testimony should be, thus saith the Lord, God done this for me through His Word. So then we find not only did He delight in God's Word because it's sanctified, but notice with me, lastly, is this. It's satisfied. Notice here, the satisfaction of the Word of God. Verse number 3 of our text. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whether he whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Not only is God's word certain, because God wrote it, God gave it. It's true, it's settled forever. God said not one jot or tittle shall pass away in his word, and as all will be fulfilled. We see that happening in our world today. We can count upon salvation because God's word said it. We can count upon God's promise that He'll come again because He said it. And so it's certain, but also it sanctifies. It's changed our life. God's word can get into the heart of a sinner and redeem that sinner. God can get into the heart of a woman and make her a great Christian lady, a great mom, a great a wife. God can get in the heart of a drunkard and make him sober. God can get in the heart of an addict and make him clean. God can get in the heart of an adulterer and make them right and pure. God can save anybody with this word. It sanctifies. It cleanses. But it also satisfies. See, the Word of God, He says, this man who has chosen to be separated. He's chosen to leave the world behind. He does not stand, he does not walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But he has chosen the Word of God. He delights in God's Word. He's committed to God's Word. God says, now watch, here's the blessing. I'm going to make him be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see, the Word of God plants your stand. He plants you in a great place. Think about where God has put you in your life. Think about where He's placed you. He's placed you by rivers of water that will feed you. And here, God compares us to a tree where the roots go down deep in this rich soil, and the soil is constantly fed and nourished by the waters of the Word. God's placed you and blessed you. When you choose God's Word, you choose God first and delight in God's Word. He plants you like a tree by the rivers of water. Deep roots that go down deep into the soil, that stand the test of time, that won't be quickly blown over, but by the waters of His Word that will nourish the soul. Oh, thank God where He's... What a blessing to see where God's placed you in your life. You're not what you used to be, thank God. He's changed your life. He's put you in a good place. He's gave you a good home and a good marriage. He's gave you some good children. He's placed you in a good church. He put you by the Word of God. Every day you can walk with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's given you the book. Let you talk to Him in prayer. What a great place to be planted. We find that God also provides you a seasons of grace. The righteous man delighting in the Word of God and taught in the Word of God reaps the fruit of the Word. You see, this morning when you cannot get in the Word of God and walk in God's Word and not be blessed and not bear fruit. You see, this man that delights in God's Word, he's chosen the Word of God. He's committed to it. We find that God begins to bless him with graces. There is love and time, there is love instead of hate. There's joy in the midnight hours. There's joy in victory. There's peace that passes all understanding in a confusing day of calamity. Now, there is long suffering in the time of persecution. There's gentleness for the broken and the wounded. There's patience in the time of suffering. There's faith in the day of trials. These are the fruits that this man brings forth because of where he's planted, but because he's chosen to delight in the Word of God. Christian, today I want to encourage you that when you delight in God's Word, God said, if you will, then I will. God gives us a blessing here. If you will delight in my Word and choose me first. Choose my Word first. Commit to me. I'll plant you like a tree by the rivers of water, and you'll bring forth fruit in your season. Never an off season. Never a bad season. But you'll bring forth fruit at the right time. And boy, when you need love, it'll be there. When you need long suffering, it'll be there. When you need these graces, it'll be there. We find that fruitfulness is the essential quality of the believer. And fruitfulness is a blessing that God gives from delighting in His Word. If this morning, say, preacher, I have no fruit. I have no patience. I have no charity. I have no long suffering. I have no meekness. I have no gentleness. Preacher, I'm barren. It's not because of the church. It's not because of where you live. It's not because of how much money you make. It's because of what you do with the Word of God. Get in the Word. Delight in God's Word. You'll be surprised at the fruit that you bring forth. We find this morning that God's Word protects your testimony. See, this man, even he'll bring forth fruit and his leaf shall not wither as well. God makes this man a godless, here's a godly man, and God protects your testimony and your character. God, the Word of God feeds your soul and strengthens your spirit. Your leaf is always green. You see, in God's economy, there is no death. Hey, you've been resurrected from the dead. He quickened you. Now you're living. No more to die. Your leaves should never wither. It should always be green and prosperous because we're walking in the Spirit of God. We're walking in His Word. Death does no longer reign in our lives. But we're victorious as believers in Christ Jesus. So listen, if you delight in my Word, you'll be victorious. The Word of God prospers your work. God said this, and whatsoever He doeth, He shall prosper. God blesses the work of the believer. He blesses the work of the believer. See, preacher, you don't understand. There are some things in my life I'm struggling with. Something I don't understand. Could it be you're reaping what you've sown? Oh man, we as Christians, we forget the laws of reaping, of sowing and reaping. You know, there's things, I'm 48 years old. There's things that I reap yet today that I sowed when I was 14 and 15. We forget those things sometimes. We forget that sometimes we sow to the flesh and we sow to corruption and then we begin to reap those things and we want to blame God. But God, why? Well, if God could speak to us today, audibly He'd say, remember, son, in your lifetime, remember, son, when you sowed? You read the Old Testament and there were times when they wouldn't sow for years, they wouldn't reap for years later. Think about Saul when he became the Apostle Paul. There are things that man reaped as a great Apostle of Christ because of what he did as a Pharisee. But God does take the man that chooses to delight in His Word and prosper the work. God wants to bless your hand. God wants to bless your work. I want to encourage you Christians today to choose God. To choose Him first. To choose His Word. How many times we take God's Word, we tuck it under our arm, and come to church holding it like good Christians ought to. We sit in the pew, and we even open it up the best we can to follow along. And I'm thankful for that. I think that every person in the church should bring a Bible with them. Amen. Bring a Bible. If I don't have one, then tell me I'll get you one. You know, bring a Bible. Here's what I find so often today. We take God's Word. I find a lot of Bibles in the pews. They get left here all week long. And I'm thinking, what are they? If they're in the pew, then what are they reading at home? Oftentimes, I know when I was growing up, and I'm just ashamed for us to say, oftentimes when I was growing up, my Bible would sit in the car all week long on that big old back shelf back there in that back window. We put it on the nightstand. We put it on the coffee table. It looks good, but it never gets opened. But God wants to bless your work. But you got to get in the book. You got to get in the book. And you got to begin to read the book. And you got to say, all right, here's what God's Word says. And it's good. I believe it's good enough for me. And now I will do it. That's what delight in it is. Delight is taking great pleasure in it, but then also doing it. When the Word of God says, love your wives, then I need to love my wife. When the Word of God says, submit to your husbands, and I need to submit. When the Word of God says, listen, children, obey your parents. You may understand, they may not like it, but you simply honor and obey. When God's Word says, separate from the world, don't be friends with the world. We say, well, listen, but there's some things in the world, there's attractions that I like. But yet, we separate from the things of or that are worldly. When God says, put the old man behind you, you see, we delight in God's Word, and God said, all right, I'm going to bless your work. I'll bless your hand. Remember Joseph? Boy, he had some trouble in his life, didn't he? His brothers hated him. People lied about him, thrown in prison. But everywhere that Joseph went, no matter who he worked for, God blessed that place. When Joseph worked for his father, he was blessed. When Joseph worked for Potiphar, he was blessed. When Joseph worked for the jailer was blessed. When Joseph worked for Pharaoh, Egypt was blessed. Why? Because Joseph chose to delight in God's Word, to honor God first. And God blessed him for it. I want to encourage you today as Christians. I have a few more points, but the time is gone. And God contrasts the way of the righteous man with the ungodly man. And the righteous man, his way is prosperous. God blesses him. You know what? God, as you get in the book, God will bless your Bible reading. God will bless your prayer life. You see, we think this. We think, blessings? Oh, that means more money. That's our first mind goes to that. Our mind always goes to that. That means I can buy my own private Learjet. You know, Lamborghini time. God bless me real good. I'm going to have a 10,000 square foot house. Oh, my wife would hate that. All that cleaning. Oh. All that dust. But God blesses you spiritually. God blesses your soul. Yeah. You know, you begin to read the Word of God and pray, God bless. You know, you begin to knock on doors and pass out tracts to people that are unsaved. God blesses that work. You know, you're not going to like this, but God blesses the work when you give. There are folks here that you hardly ever give to the church, hardly ever give to missions. And I know we got bills to pay. But we expect God bless my family, God bless my home, God bless save my children, save my grandchildren. But then we want to rob God. With our time, with our money, with our efforts. God says, listen, you put me first and I'm going to bless you. All right, listen, you know, today, you know, there are people who say, well, you know, tithing is for the Old Testament. Show that to me once. Give me some chapters and verses for that. I believe that when you honor God with all that you have and put God first, He blesses you. God wants to bless your work. The ungodly man and the righteous man, their ways never cross. Their destination is never will be the same. Young folks today, mark it down. And I'm cutting the whole section out. Be thankful for that. Boom, it's gone. But let me just kind of come in the landing with this thought. You read Psalms chapter 1, and God compares these two men together. He says, the one man that will delight in my word, I'll bless him every time. But the man that rejects my word and clings to the sin of this world, that man, his way shall perish. Young folks today, moms and dads, watch it now. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly, their ways will never cross. And their destination will never be the same. Never. You can't choose the way of the ungodly and get to where the righteous man is going. You can't reject God's word and reject God's work and reject God's son and ever get to where God wants you to be. You'll never be where the righteous man ends up. And the righteous man will never end up where the ungodly man ends up. Now the godly man, that the righteous man that will choose God and be born again, receive Jesus Christ by faith and make him his Lord and Savior, will never end up where the ungodly man ends up. Their destination will never be the same. Thank God for that. Because of His Word, because I'm saved, I'll never see hell. Never darken the doors of hell. I'll never hear the words, I'll never depart before I never knew you. I'll never hear the screams and the gnashing of teeth and the wailing of those that are in hell because of what God's Word has promised me. Heaven's my home and I'm blessed today. What makes a difference is the Word of God makes a difference. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word makes a difference. Today, where are you at in your life? Today, what is your way? Are you in the way of the righteous man? Have you chosen to delight in God's Word? Do you find great delight in that? Or is your way the ungodly man? Now, by the way, let me just say this. The righteous man is not righteous because of what he does. Thank God for that. His works didn't make him righteous. Him getting clean didn't make him righteous. Him putting away some things didn't make him righteous. Him coming to church didn't make him righteous. Him putting money in the offering box didn't make him righteous. Oh, but one day when he realized he was a sinner and received Christ as his Savior and put his faith and trust in Him, that faith in Christ, Christ made him righteous. Christ blessed his way. And today without Christ, there can be no one that's righteous. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, went to a place called Calvary. And He hung out on Calvary's cross. And He became sin for all of us who knew no sin, that we that knew no righteousness might be made righteousness in Christ. And only a righteous man can ever enter into heaven. There's no sinners in heaven. There's no scorners. There's no wicked. There's no ungodly in heaven. Only righteous are in heaven. Well, how do you get righteous? Not by our works. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive Him as a Savior and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Because I've sinned, I'm going to hell. And God, I agree with You that I'm wicked and I'm lost. God, I want to be saved. Save me. God, at that very moment, by Your faith will save you and make you righteous. And His Word will change your life. Today you can be righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Say, ah, preacher, that's not for me. I don't want that. Then you, sir, you, ma'am, your way is ungodly. And that way will always perish. Today, Christ invites you to trust in Him. If you have not trusted in Christ your Savior today, I invite you to come. Trust in Christ as well. Father, we come to You in closing. We thank You for Your Word that's made a difference in our lives. We thank You, Father, for the Word of God that is certain and it's sanctifying. And Lord, it sure is satisfying. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You've attached to the Word. Lord, I pray today that we be hearers and doers. Now, Lord, my prayer is this morning that if any be here that's not saved, that's never in their life have trusted You as their Savior, that today that the Spirit of God will convict them, they'd come, Lord, the invitation and come and want to be saved and trust in You, Father. Lord, expose the way of the ungodly to this morning. Lord, convict the heart of sinners. And Lord, may Your way be proclaimed and be exalted, Father. Let's all stand today as